We're going to talk about something the Lord put on my heart about this Sunday as we partake of communion. And so we're just going to ask you to take notes, or if you want the outline or the handout piece, it's on CCB. You can download it and just follow along electronically. But if you need any help with that, you know, the people in the back, our sound and media team will be able to help you access that. But today the Lord just wants you to listen intently with your heart and the Holy Spirit, because he wants to do something today that's so special and purposeful for us today. And so the subject today is the Lord is Lord, our refuge and strength. He wants to remind us of who he is. Next week he's going to give us another aspect of who he is, I believe, as he directs and guides us this month, because circumstances, situations, concerns at times cause us to forget who our Father is. And when you forget who your Father is, you forget who you are in him and in Christ. So let's look at Psalms 46. I'm going to start with Psalms 46. We're going to read the entire verse of scripture in Psalms 46, verse 1. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. Verse 4, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, and the kingdoms were moved, and he uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who hath made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in fire. Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. So the Lord is our refuge and our strength. He wants to remind us of that today. Our Father God is a very present help in times of trouble. He's not an absentee helper. He's a present help in time of trouble. So as we reflect and remember the communion table, the table of the Lord, we should take courage and find great hope of who our Father is and who our Lord Jesus Christ is to us. See, the communion table should inspire us and ignite our faith and focus that God is with us even when we're in trouble. Amen. Amen. So God is a present help in trouble. Everybody say that with me. God is a very present help in trouble. Now turn with me to Psalms chapter 9. I just want to reaffirm this with another witness of scripture. Psalms chapter 9. Psalms chapter 9. Look at verse 7. The Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. How long does the Lord endure?
Forever.
So he's not going away. The Lord's not changing. He's not going away, and he's not going anywhere. And he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment for the people in uprightness. The Lord also, listen to this, will be a refuge for the oppressed a refuge in times of trouble. Now, the Amplified says it, at times of trouble, it has parentheses, high costs. That means if you're dealing with a situation that's costing you a lot mentally, emotionally, relationally, and financially, destitution and desperation. Anybody ever been there? High cost, destitution. So that means you're in trouble. So this Psalms, give you a little backdrop, was written by Hezekiah after the Lord delivered his city of Jerusalem out of the hands of the Assyrian army. So you'll notice in verse 1 in the Hebrew that put their trust in God. They declared him as their refuge and strength. What do we need to do? Declare him as our what? If you're dealing with things that's costing you a lot of trouble, that is destituting you, or you're in a desperate situation, you need to declare, the Lord is what? My refuge and my strength. Hallelujah. He's not going to be. He is. And what you declare him to be, he will be. For you and me. Praise God. So they declared him to be their refuge and strength. He was the strength of their adversary. Was the strength of their adversary, the Assyrian army. What strength was he? Well, it was their training, their equipment, their leaders. Since you know we know the outcome of this particular confrontation, you can see whose refuge and strength what was dependable. God. It also says in the first verse that he was a present help in trouble. So it's important to understand that when you're born again, you're not magically removed from all of life's challenges and difficulties. Matter of fact, Psalms 34, 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. If you're not in a challenge or a difficulty, you will be. Hallelujah. Can anybody agree with that? Can anybody say amen to that? So you're not exempt from it. Rather, you're given the equipment to face those problems to be victorious through God, who is your help in trouble. Your strength is perfected in trouble when you pull out the sword of the Spirit, when you declare the word of God. God is my refuge and my strength. That means you can retreat to a place of safety, security, and salvation in the Lord when you declare that with your faith. Amen. So your strength is perfected when you practice to become, you adapt to the weapons of your warfare. Amen. God would not give us weapons if there was no battle to fight. So what weapons do you have? Now here's what the Lord said to me Friday as I was preparing and thinking about these things. He woke me up with this. He said, many people are afraid to use their weapons because the enemy has paralyzed them through a spirit of fear. So we won't shout. We won't rejoice. We won't declare the word, or we won't put the Bible right in the devil's face and say, the Lord is my refuge and my what? Strength. He's a very present what? Help in time of what? In time of trouble. Amen. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 10, hallelujah, that the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal. So God's not going to give you tanks and airplanes, but he's going to give you the equipment to undo fear. He's going to give you the equipment to undo that worry and that stress that on that situation. He's going to give you everything you need for that battle that you may be facing at that moment. He promises to be a very present help in time of trouble. Everybody say glory to God. So we must be reminded to take by faith the help. Because the Lord said Friday, he said people are in fear, so they're not taking what I'm making to help them in their situation. Now, listen to my phrase again. They're not taking what I'm making available in that situation. See, remember, grace makes. God is so good and gracious. So he makes everything we need to sustain or obtain victory. Amen. And so, but we got to take what he's made available. He's always ready and dutiful and on watch to perform his word on your behalf if you acknowledge it by faith. So you got to say, everybody say this, take it by faith. What are you taking? He said a very present help in a time of trouble. Now let's take aspect of fear that people get in trouble with. This is one that was real big. We prayed about it Thursday in corporate prayer because that's what the Lord assigned us to pray about. Because this is a sneaky one. Okay, so let's read it. Isaiah chapter 61. I'm going to read down to verse 3. Okay, Isaiah 61 down 1. To 3, New King James, if you can put it up, please. Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has what? Anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison of those that are bound. Everybody say, I'm anointed. See, God has anointed you to do your job. And the anointing is God's equipment. It's not a statement about you. It's a statement about him. The Lord has anointed me. So when you're in trouble, he's also anointed you for battle. He's anointed you to fight and to win. Because he's never lost a battle. Hallelujah. To proclaim the what? The acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who what? Mourn. Keep going, verse 3. To console those who mourn in Zion. See, there's people that mourning in Zion or in the church. To give them beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. See how many times mourning is in there. The garment of praise for the spirit of. That they might be called the trees of righteousness. In other words, here's the two things. You see the oil of joy. What's that for? Now, I remember a couple weeks ago. I don't know if it was last week or the week before. We anointed people with fresh oil because God says people need fresh oil. The oil is for of joy is a type of strength and stamina that you need for when you're in the fight. Now, this word mourning is an interesting word because it means in the Hebrew an act of sorrowing, a period of grieving. So some people are sad and sorrowful and grieving about something they've lost or something that's pulling things from them in a state of losing the battle in that context. So you're grieving. You're sorrowing. And that's the wrong kind of suffering. Amen. And then the next one is the garment of praise. For what? The spirit, well, the spirit of heaviness is two words in the Latin definition of this word, spirit of heaviness. It is called discouragement and depression. I mean, you know, we're not authorized by the Lord to ever be depressed or to be discouraged. So sometimes we have to, and I've had to do it myself. Don't think. you know, everybody's elite or better than you. No, so when we're tempted to be discouraged, if we yield to discouragement, we need to repent quickly. How do I know I'm discouraged? Well, when I'm out of courage, I'm discouraged. It takes courage to do the will of God, to walk in the way of God, amen, and to do the work of God, amen, because it takes courage to resist and go against all the currents of the world and unwitting people who try to tell you and talk you down and talk you out of following God fully. And that people will say things to discourage you, take the courage right out of you. And if you don't deal with discouragement, you're on a slippery slope that lead to depression. And if the enemy can depress you, he will oppress you. That means you're meditating and ruminating and rehearsing the lies of the devil over and over again in your mind. But what did he say? The garment of what? Garment of praise. So you got to put that on. That's an act of faith. That's a situation where you need to praise God intentionally. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's Satan wrapping you around with his cold, slimy blanket. And it's not doesn't smell good either. Look at Psalms 60, verse 11. Give help, give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. In other words, we don't need to be looking around to other helps. We need to look to the Lord for our help in trouble. Psalms 108, verse 12. Give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. It says it again. Different scripture. So some of us may have to hear it two times. Amen. Amen. Psalms 38, 22. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. God is standing ready to help. Even when you're in difficulties and in challenges. But don't refuse to help. Psalms 33, 20. Our soul waits for the Lord, for he is our help and our shield. Everybody say this with me. Take the help. Turn to your neighbor and say, take the help. Be nice to someone else and look around at him and say, would you be so kind and take the help? Because fear opens the door to defeat. I'll say it again. Fear opens the door to defeat. Verse 2, we just read it, Psalms 46, verse 2. Therefore, if you can put it back up there. Therefore, Psalms 46, verse 2. Therefore, we will not what? That's a choice. That's a choice we make. If you don't make it, it'll be made for you. Not in the right way. You got to decide at the onset of the battle that I will not fear. Now, that battle could start in the doctor's office. When they give you a report, and it's not necessarily positive. It could be negative. What do you do? I will not fear. What's your response? I refuse to fear. Everybody here? Amen? Because fear opens the door to defeat. See, with odds like that, why be afraid? Because the Lord is our refuge and our strength, a very present help. So the Lord's going to help me through this. The Lord's going to help me in this. The Lord's going to help walk me out of this, and I'm going to have the victory because he is my victory. Somebody say, glory to God. So we don't talk to ourselves enough and talk to the Lord and declare about the Lord enough. And we succumb to fear, and what we mute up or muzzle up with our mouths, and we yield to fear in our minds. See, fear opens only opens the way to defeat. Fear cannot help you succeed at all. Now, think about the scenario again. We're going back to the scenario of when this was written by King Hezekiah and when the Assyrian army was coming to him. When he was doing that, it was a perfect opportunity for them to get in fear, because if you understand Jerusalem, it sits like in a bowl, And so they got mountain ranges all around. And so here's the Assyrian army all over the mountains, covering the mountains, getting ready to surge down on Jerusalem and basically annihilate them. Now, the first response for most people would be, we're surrounded. We're overwhelmed. We're overcome with all this stuff. And then what do we do? We get afraid. Hallelujah. So they didn't become really afraid. They are sitting on the walls of the city, looking out over the vast Assyrian army, listening to the threats of Rabashakeh, that he was an Assyrian army king. But they didn't say a word. Thank God people should learn the vocabulary of silence. Because you don't need to be talking your fears. Because you're going to be taking your fears in when you're talking your fears. Amen? See, that's a powerful action to disarm fear. Simply refuse to speak out what your flesh and your mind is seeing inside of you at the moment. You say what? Walking out of the doctor, I refuse to fear. You would say what when they put those things on you and try to tell you, you got something in you. So everybody say it with me. I refuse to fear. When you get a bad report or somebody, a relational situation where they tell you, I'm doing this to you and and you say, I refuse. The Lord is my refuge and my a very present and help in trouble. So therefore we will not fear, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Literally, the Hebrew says, though the land be destroyed. You may seem surrounded. You may seem seemingly compassed about by all the demonic armies. Every kind of aggravation, devastation coming upon you. But you got to say, I will not fear, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. So if you listen to the reports of the world today, you hear destructions all around us. Some of us need to watch our news intake. Because it's not feeding your faith, it's fueling your fear. See, wars, bombings, enemies on every hand. But your faith is in your natural military strength, or is it in the assurance that God is always present to help you in trouble? Where's your faith? Jesus said, in the midst of rumors and wars, we are not to let our heart be troubled. And let me say something else. What the Lord said to me Friday, he said, many people are letting their hearts get in trouble. Amen. Now, the mountains being carried in the sea is reference to the size of the Assyrian army, which I told you they were surrounding Jerusalem. They located so that they just saw a whole ocean-like of soldiers. They were literally outnumbered by a lot, a whole lot. Now let's look at Isaiah 8:7. It says, now therefore, behold, the Lord will bring them over, Isaiah 8, verse 7. Now therefore, the Lord will bring up over them the waters of the river, strong and mighty, the king of Assyria and all his glory, and I will go up over the channels and go over all his banks. So this army is so powerful, it's so large, it cannot be contained in its own country. It has overflowed the countries round about it. So it looks like to them a flood coming in, but it's actually people and horses and armies coming at them. But in the midst of this trouble, God is present, and Hezekiah tells himself and his people not to fear. What is the Lord telling you today and me today and us together? It doesn't matter what you're going through right now. Do not fear. You think you have problems, pains, pressures, and predicaments, and deserve to wallow in self-pity? How would you like to be looking over a wall and see armies coming at you like a flash flood, like a dam bursted open and allowed water to come swirling in and cover everything in its path? See, fear is not your friend, and it must be resisted and replaced with faith. Fear, as some people describe it as an acronym, false evidence appearing real. When fear comes in, faith goes out. Then you will not acknowledge and you will not access God, the Lord, who is your refuge and your strength. And he won't be a present help because you're not taking the help. You've taken the fear. I'm being very technical and talking you through this because the Lord has us on assignment to get rid of fear. Amen? So y'all use your faith and help me deliver everything I need to get out. So faith is full assurance in the heart. See, what do you believe? How are you responding to the pressure, to the pain, to the problem, to the predicament? Because God said he didn't give us a spirit of what? But of power, love, and a sound mind. So when fear comes in, you know it doesn't belong there. It has to be resisted. It has to be replaced. Fear tolerated means our faith gets contaminated. And you must realize, some people say, well, I'm not scared. I'm not afraid of anything. No, if you're doubting, that's fear-based and fear-dependent, because all doubt is fear-based and fear. If we don't believe the Lord enough to do what his word says and say what his word says, then we're doubting. We don't have full assurance in our heart because we say, oh, that's nice, but I'm not going to declare it in the midst of trouble. And people will tell you their trouble, and this is where we get in trouble. We'll talk about our trouble. We'll tell others about our trouble, but we won't tell in the midst of trouble, the Lord is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in times of trouble. See, telling about the trouble is just a fear response and a fact report. It's not a faith report. See, all worry, anxiety, and burdensome care and mental anguish is fear-based and fear-dependent. We talk about all the problems we have, all the things we're facing, all the difficulties and dilemmas and decisions we got to make, and all the pressure that's on us. That's all doubt and fear and unbelief. Let's just call it what it is. It stinks in God's nostrils, and you got to get rid of it. Amen. You got to stop talking about it and stop taking a bath in it. Right. Some of us are worshiping fear because you're worrying. Worrying is meditating on the lies of the devil. Because what you're meditating, you're creating more and more fear. You're allowing more and more fear to come near and come in. And to the point of worship, you're supposed to worship God and not worship what the devil's doing. Worship is a form of putting your mind on things, thinking about those things, and pondering those things, and wondering, oh, is it going to get any worse? Is it going to get any better? Is it going to turn around? And you're basically worshiping the enemy. Y'all got quiet now. See, all unbelief, disobedience, and sin is fear-based and fear-dependent. You see the first sin, the original sin. Adam, he did what? Why did he hide? He had guilt, shame, remember, shame, sorrow, and sickness, and sin, and Satan are synonymous. They run together. They're in the same family. And so he said, I hid because I was afraid. Why did the one talent guy put his money in the earth? What's the first response he told the Lord? I was afraid. I said, why do people go a whole month without giving? He said, they're in fear. They're in fear that they're not going to have, or they're going to run out. When you fear running out, coming up short, that's fear. That's disobedience. It's sin because you're not supposed to be going protracted period of time and have income and not giving. Because that's what we call it, disobedience or partial disobedience or delayed obedience. Delayed obedience is what? Disobedience, complete disobedience. Because God has not only the truth that you need to obey, but you need to obey it now. When he says to you, do not fear, there's 365 of them in the Bible. Do not fear, do not be afraid, fear not. Scriptures in the Bible. And he said, you're not supposed to fear any day or in any way. Because he did not give us what? The spirit of what? Fear. So there's some people in unbelief because they don't believe it enough to act on the word. They're disobedient. In other words, their faith is unpersuaded to act. When he says, put on the garment of praise, you need to put something else on. You might have clothes on per se, but he says, put on the garment of praise because the spirit of heaven is trying to get on you and get in you. Discouragement and pressure. And so you don't put on the garment of praise. You're disobedient. Well, praise the Lord. See, all that's fear-based, fear-dependent. See, fear of dying, fear of doing without, fear of devastation. Wrong. Isaiah 41:10. Look at this in Amplified. Fear not, there is nothing to fear. She got it up there. Okay, there it is. For I am with you. Why is there nothing to fear? Why are you afraid about the money running out? Why are you afraid to give in the extra the Lord's dealing with your heart? Why are you afraid of what the doctor says? Yeah, thank God for doctors. Thank God for the medical team. But whose report will you believe? Just because the doctor said, are his words or her words immutable? They can change. Because God says he's your refuge and your what? And your strength and the very present help when? In trouble, when you're in trouble. Amen? When you're sick, you're in trouble. When you're in shame, you're in trouble. When you're sorrowing, you're in trouble. When you're in sin and disobedience, you're in trouble. If Satan is oppressing you, you're in. He said, there's nothing to fear, for I am with you. Don't look around you in terror and be dismayed. That means confused and broken down in the mind. Don't look around and look, wow, I can't believe all this stuff. And then you become a victim instead of a victor. You're talking about all the bad stuff happening and how it just keeps coming. Yeah, it's going to keep coming because you said it's keeping coming. For I am what? Your God. I will strengthen you and harden you to what? Difficulties. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you and retain you with my victorious right hand of rightness and justice. Now look at this out of the Passion Translation. Now, you can't get it out of the YouVersion Passion because they don't have the Old Testament. But you can get it out of Bible Gateway. So this is what it says. Do not yield to fear. Now, if y'all are in there, we ought to underline and put that in lipstick on, ladies, on your mirror, in your bathroom. Come on now. In the refrigerator, on a big card when you open it up. Do not yield to what?
Fear.
Do not yield to fear. For I am always near. Never turn your gaze from me, for I am your faithful God. That means don't look at around and everything else. Look at God. I will infuse you with my strength and help you in every situation. I will hold you firmly with my victorious right hand. Isn't that beautiful? Now let's look at this one in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. Y'all getting something out of this? You get the message, right? Do not fear. All right? Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your character and moral disposition be, I'm reading out of Amplified Classic Version again, be free from the love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving of earthly possession, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with all with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. Now, how positive and sure that is. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not. So we can take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, what? Confidently and boldly say, the Lord is what? What are you saying? The Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? See, faith says the same thing as the word says. Amen. Fear says the same thing the devil's doing and says. So how much faith have we been in the fight? See, we must check our hearts and minds to ascertain that we're fear-free, we're anxiety-free, we're worry-free, we're doubt and unbelief-free, or not in disobedience or unpersuaded to act on the faith, act on the word of God. Now let's look at John 14:27 Amplified. Listen to this one. I hope these scriptures are ministering to you. Hallelujah. Look what it says. Peace I now leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be what? Neither let them be what? Stop allowing yourself to be agitated and disturbed. Keep going. And do not permit yourself to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. That's pretty direct, isn't it? Why? Because he gave us his peace. Now let's look at this word Selah for a moment. At the end of verse 3 in Psalms 46, we see the word Selah. Remember that this is a song or psalm, spiritual song, Hezekiah wrote, but not only words, the words are preserved for this. The singers, when it came to Selah, it meant they would pause and be silent, but the musician would still be playing. But what is that for? This gave the singers and the congregation time to stop and reflect upon the passage that was just completed. Then a new thought would be introduced. So in other words, you're supposed to stop and think about that. When he says Selah, stop and think about verse 1, 2, and 3. And I think it says Selah three times in the whole 11 verses. So stop and think about it. That means your think time needs to be included in your throne time. In the presence of God, as you're receiving this word for your life, you need to be thinking about it. You need to be thinking about God is my refuge and my strength. You need to be thinking about he is a very present help in time of trouble. You need to be thinking about, I don't need to fear no matter what's going on. You see, fear has to be resisted and replaced, but in some cases it has to be unlearned. Because some of us, when we get in a family fight, we automatically get afraid. And we cower down. And then some of us shut down and step down out of faith into the flesh or into fear. Some of us in a financial fight, same thing. We shut down. Oh, we're going to run out. We're going to run. And everybody gets tight and start holding on like vice grips, thinking that I'm going to save because my sowing is not going to outperform my savings, so I got to save it so I don't walk around with nothing in my pocket. Well, that's fear. That's fear thought and fear talk. Because if he's your refuge and your strength, that means he'll send you money if he has to run a dog with a paper bag to your front door and ring the doorbell and say, here you go. Who do you trust? Who's your source? So you need to be thinking about that. So let's do that. So never let's stop summarize. Stop and summarize the first portion of verse 1 through 3. It can be summarized. No matter what the difficulty, I'm just putting it in contemporary language. No matter what the difficulty you are facing, put your trust in the Lord. Keep your mouth from speaking doubt, fear, and unbelief. We don't want to hear it around here. It's been too much. Y'all receive that today? See, recognize the Lord is present and able to help you. You don't need to be talking like the God is dead. Jesus is alive. Amen. Jesus is still Lord. God is still on our throne. He's not asleep and slumbering. He's very present help in time of trouble. Amen. So stop doubt peddling, stop fear peddling, and stop unbelief pushing. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Y'all making this hard on me to get out. Hallelujah. Y'all got to receive this now because this is what came from God. I wasn't planning on talking about this, but he said, do it. Got to get the fear out. Got to get the faith in. Overcome the oceans of the enemy's attacks. So now in verse 4, we began to see and discuss the answer to the problem. So we're just basically unpacking Psalms 46. God said, unpack it, because here is the remedy. Here's the prescription. Amen. So this verse talks about a river. Did you ever stop to compare an ocean with a river? See, the devil is trying to convince us, friends, that our problems are like as mighty as an ocean. And we all have rivers of living water that well up from the inner being. Put trust in that river that's in you. See, no ocean can withstand the power of the river because the river is moving. It's a mighty moving force. What does 1 John 4:4 tell you? You are of God, little children, and have what? Overcome them for what? Greater is that is in you than he that's in the world. So greater is he who's in you than whatever's going on in the world against you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, you got to turn to the Holy Spirit who dwells in you and depend on that river of wisdom, strength, and his ability to overcome the oceans of the enemy's attack. In other words, friends, we got to get back to becoming God inside minded, conscious of the God on the inside of you. Come on, you talk like God's taking a vacation and he's in another universe or galaxy. And he doesn't care and he's not considerate of your situations at hand. He is a very present, glory to God. He is a very present help in a time of trouble.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Somebody's getting it. See, in verse 5, we see the results of God turning, coming on the scene. The Hebrew literally says that we shall not be taken captive. See, fear captures you. It paralyzes you. It puts you in chains and bondage. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Bondage. Fear brings bondage. It breaks you down. And it breaks people away, too, you know, because people say, well, I got so many problems coming at me, I can't come to church. Well, praise the Lord. Let me get back into teaching these here a little bit. Amen. See, we don't give in to the taunts of the enemy who would tempt you to walk out and give up without a fight. So we prayed against, and Thursday, he said, people that want to do themselves harm, quitting, cutting. Amen. And some teenagers, particularly it's pretty prevalent among teenagers, want to off themselves or don't work because why? Fear is consuming them. They want to commit suicide. What do we do? We're facing overwhelming odds. Let me just quit. Let me just give up on life. Let me just go away. And maybe they can be better off without me. That's not a thought of God. Amen. So you got to learn to pray in the spirit and activate that river. Amen. And you will not be taken captive by the enemy. So here's another set of instructions. You need to start praying in the Holy Spirit more and more, just like we talked about this morning. Some of us know that everything we need is in the spirit, but you won't access it. You won't pray in the spirit. You need to reactivate and raise and elevate and accelerate your praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Bible says in Jude 20, building yourselves up upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Doing what? Keeping yourselves in the love of God. Because perfected love flushes out or casts out all fear. You got to keep the love river flowing and growing and going through you. So you don't act out of love and act out of God and act out of the will and plan of God for your life. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So when does God rescue you? Look at the end of verse 5. At the break of dawn. Everybody say at the break of dawn. Everybody say weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. What does that mean? What does that mean? Very soon. Some of y'all been putting up with stuff for months, weeks, seasons after season. Today it ceases. It's terminated. Because at the break of dawn, God is coming in. Hallelujah. Now some people think, well, it doesn't mean it. No, it doesn't mean immediately. It says God's always on time. And so even though we've tempted to give up and quit, if we don't see the situation improve immediately, God swings into action at the right time against our enemy. That means very soon. Everybody say very soon. Hallelujah. Now, God doesn't use natural weapons because verse 6 says the other cities that trusted in false gods yet fell to the armies of the king of Assyria. There's only one true living God, and putting your trust in him is not a futile effort. It said the nation raised, the kingdoms were moved. That means when that Assyrian army in history, Bible history, came against, they took out all those other cities that weren't serving God or weren't righteous with God. You got to remember, God will take care. He knows your address. See, your voice of faith is your address in the realm of the Spirit. So you might have 1,000 people praying and crying and begging God to come and do something about their situation, but he's only going to land on the one that's calling him in faith. Amen. And when you say the same thing that the Word is saying and begin to activate your faith and act upon the Word of God, then He will come very soon because He hastens His Word to perform it. Come on now. He watches over His Word to fulfill it. If He said it, He'll do it. If He spoke it, He'll make it good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to trust Him because He's not a man that should lie. Hallelujah. You realize it would take a supernatural weapon to slay 185,000 soldiers in one night. So God sent one angel. Y'all heard about the story about the angel? He sent one angel. One angel. God says, go get him. Hallelujah. And that one angel took out 185,000 Assyrians in one night. Amen. If God be for you, who can be what against you? Amen. Amen. If God is on your side, how can you be denied? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Even though the odds look like they're stacked against you. That's why you need to say, you're my refuge and my strength. You might be outnumbered in your family. They ganging up on you. Come on now. You might be outnumbered at your office. You might be outnumbered financially with the bills and the debt collectors calling and coming at you. Come on now. But you're not outnumbered with God. You and God are a majority. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. We're almost done. Hallelujah. Everybody getting something out of this? Verse 6 tells us what the weapon was. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. What did the angels do? They hearkened to the voice of his word. Amen. The same thing he's going to do in Revelation 19:15, that out of his mouth would come a sharp sword and it would strike the nations. See, it's good to have a weapon like that on your side of the battle, isn't it? God can speak and cause earthquakes to come. The whole earth to move, things to melt away. The Bible says at the presence of God, mountains melt like wax. Who is your Father? Who is the Lord? Who is like the Lord? Come on now. He is your refuge and your strength. He's a very present help in time of trouble. I'm trying to pound this into you, okay, and get any fear, residual fear out of you. Look at your first. He refers to in Psalms 46. Hezekiah continues in referring to God as the Lord of hosts, the God of Jacob. And in the Hebrew, it reads Jehovah of armies. He is the one who is the head of the host of angels. He is the same one who defended Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the faithful. As faithful as he was to them, he will be to us right now. Didn't he defend Abraham? Didn't he defend Isaac? Didn't he defend Jacob? Amen. Come on now. Will he defend you? Come on now. So everybody say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is your defense. He's your defender. He's your helper. Come on. You need to say these things to resist fear and replace it with faith. Amen. Psalms 89, 33, 34 says, nevertheless, my righteousness, loving kindness, excuse me, will not, I utterly not take from him, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. He's not going to change. He's always the same. If he was the same with Abraham, he'll be the same to you because you're his child and you're his precious inheritance of a family. Praise God. Hallelujah. He'll move mountains just to make sure you got a way that's plain. He said, my covenant I will not break nor alter the word that's gone out of my lips. He's not going to alter it. Amen? Numbers 23:9, Amplified says, God is not a man that he should tell or act a lie, nor the son of man that he should feel repentant or compunction for what he has promised. In other words, God's not going to pull back his promise. Hallelujah. For he has said, What has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? See, in verse 8, we see here in verse 9, he said he makes this war to cease. He stopped the army in its tracks. The whole city of Jerusalem was spared, and the weapons and chariots of the army were like toys in the hands of a protective God. He smashed them, broke them into two, defended his precious possessions, and the next phrase in verse 9 says, in the ends of the earth. In other words, God will go down to the deepest depths of hell to get you out. He will go to the ends of the earth to get you back. Woo! He'll go anywhere to find you and to take care of you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so be still and know. Come on, stop running around agitated and irritated and frustrated. Sit down and think about, be still and know, as we take the table today, know that he is God and he's your Father and he's your refuge and he's your strength and he's your very present help in trouble. Somebody say glory to God. This word be still also in Hebrew means Rapha. It's one of the redemptive names of God, which is called Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord who heals you. It literally means be healed and know that I'm God. Stop walking around with that crippling, debilitating fear and be healed. Be healed today. Hallelujah. That's why we're taking the table today. We'll be healed from all fear of all forms in every fashion. Be still and be healed from that torment, that pain, that problem, that pressure that you're under or experiencing right now. Rest in the Lord and receive your healing. Amen? Why? Because he's never lost a single battle. He is the God of Jehovah of armies. That means his army is undefeated because he's an undefeatable God. And he's your very own Father. And so when we remember who we are in Christ and who Christ is in God. Amen? Because Colossians 3:3 says we are hid with Christ in God. He's on our side. And we are in him, and he is in us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody just worship the Lord. Hallelujah. As the guys come, the ushers come to receive communion.